Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, it's amazing when we can't let markets trade freely. You know, between China and every other central bank around the world, we've got these problems. But what next? What is the future of the economy, of the American stock market, of the Chinese stock market, of all the markets? What is the real target here? I think that's always something that we have to kind of evaluate. You know, one of the things that, you know, we preach here at the Bubba Show is never fear and never panic over what's going on. And I would certainly expect to see a bounce in the markets here. Again, I don't believe that we're going to go straight down. I don't believe that we've got, you know, disaster. I mean, I believe there's a disaster coming for the overall markets. That part, I believe. I think that you just have to understand that, you know, we've been in a 7-year bull market and markets just don't last that long. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, but from a trading standpoint, I think you'll see a pretty good rally in here somewhere. And, you know, again, I don't want you to just buy and load up. I want you to look and try to evaluate, you know, the overall market and find yourself in the best position to capitalize. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, I do believe in the precious metal space, the commodity space in general, and the basic material space, because I think that they have already taken their beat down, and not that they can't go lower. Okay, let's always be clear that they can always go lower, but I think at some point you start to nibble a little bit. And this is where, you know, many traders and investors make the key mistake. They plunge. And plunging is never the right trade. Okay? Plunging into a market is never the right trade. Yeah, you can get lucky and you can hit the home run. But the problem with hitting home runs, the problem with that type of trading is there's a lot of strikeouts. And the other problem is what if you strike out right away? Okay, and you blow all your money. Then you're not there for the home run. See, the business, the art of being a good investor, the art of being a good trader, is the ability to sustain as long as you can. So you know what? You are around for the rallies. Now, you know, not that I want to share stories with you, but I do. You know, I do a tremendous amount of work in the fund business, the RIAs. I do a lot of consulting because I am one of the foremost options traders and have an understanding of the options market. And what you want, the lesson you need to keep clear in your mind always is the ability to be in the game. You know, trading itself is, first of all, it's a learned skill. There is no magic. There is no black box. You know, you hear all these stupid advertisements of, you know, the upcoming end of the world. Somebody wrote me last week that I think that the yuan was going to be the reserve currency soon. I said, are you crazy? There's no chance soon. And, of course, they've already devalued it again, telling you that it's weak. But, you know, again, it's based on the size of the economy, and we are so much bigger in our side of the economy. But anyways, back to my point. The skill of trading is a skill. Okay, now some people will be naturally a little bit better than others. But to make money investing, to make money in the market, to be able to compete anybody can do that. Anybody. Doesn't matter. Whatever your background, you know, eighth grade education, master's degree. Garbage collector, CEO. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's a skill. It's a skill that you yourself can learn. Okay? And if you learn the basics, and the number one basic thing to know and learn is discipline and money management. Okay? Again, you have to make your money last. You know, think of investing as your household budget, knowing that you've got this bill to pay and that bill to pay. And if you do that, okay, and you invest slowly, you can always get in. But the real key to the investment model is the ability to compound your portfolio naturally or organically, not by compounding it through trying to put extra money in. The objective of investing, if we start back, let's just say you're someone who's 25 years old, okay? If you would start putting away $100 to $150 a month, and again, I don't care what you're doing, we throw away more than that goofing around, okay? If you would take that money and put it in the stock market when you're younger and do that every month, you would be surprised how much money you will have by the time you get to retirement, which is why I recommend everybody have some sort of IRA, either Roth or regular or being a 401k. And I also encourage everybody who's got the ability of their job to take out and let them take for your profit sharing and your 401k as much as they will allow you to take out. Because those are benefits that you don't get back. Okay. The benefit of being able to do that is tremendous over time. And the key is to be able to have the ability to learn to not spend every penny, but make sure that you invest some money. Why? Because investing, markets go up 9% year over year. Now, if you're older, you have to be a little bit more careful, which is why we have the hedging program. But so the skill of trading is the ability to wait for the proper opportunities. So if we look right now, I would say that if Apple gets down to 92 or 93, that's probably an opportunity. If Facebook gets down into the 80s, that's probably an opportunity to buy. Okay. Now, you can trade both sides of the market if you choose, but if you just want to invest, your objective should be to try to find a value play of a good company that has good, solid fundamentals. Now, we're not fundamental traders here. But when it gets to a technical level that you feel is good, then you get involved. And the way that you get involved is you get involved by investing a portion of your money, knowing that you might be early and you might be wrong. And then you would simply just add in more as the markets were falling. Okay. But again, waiting for the right opportunity or the right level. And that comes down to the levels of the market are what we're always looking for, because no matter what you think, the markets trade off technicals. Okay. They don't trade off of fundamentals. And again, being proved over and over again by, you know, Amazon was flying, which fundamentally wasn't strong enough to be where it was, and Apple was collapsing, which is the biggest company in the world, and still the fundamentals haven't changed. So why does that happen? Well, those happen under different technical levels and different reasons why. But that is something that you need to look at as you're trying to learn this skill. Because the skill, again, is learnable for everybody. And I want you to learn it as well. And we're going to talk more about the skill and the things that you look for when you're trading when we come back from the break. Make sure you go to the BubbaShow.org or BubbaTrading.com and check out a lot of things that we're writing. If you have time, check out the hedging program. Again, I encourage everybody. I think it's the greatest value on earth. And if you ever miss a show, guess what? We have them on demand at LibertyTalk.fm. Go check it out. Go check out our website over there. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by our break, and we will be right back with the Bubba Show.
Maybe I think I got something to say.
welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we continue on trying to educate you to be at least better investors. You know, again, not everybody is cut out for active trading, but everybody invests somewhere because somehow you need to compound your money so that when you get to the finish line, you have enough money to live. Okay? You know, I don't want to see my guys out there working unless they want to work at 65 or 70 years old. Okay? I don't want to see you out there having to push shopping carts at Walmart at the finish line unless that's what you choose to do. But I want it to be a reason that you want to be out doing that, not because you don't have enough money to live. I want everybody of my listeners here on the Bubba Show to have enough money to live, okay? And I know sometimes it means cutting and scraping a little bit together, but you want to make sure you're putting away a little bit of money every month in the equity market, even at these. And again, I'm not a short term, I'm not a buyer here, but long term, I'm always a buyer. Long term, I'm always an owner of equities, and I want you to be prepared to be in the same position, to be an owner of equities when you can, but also with not putting money to work that you need to pay the rent. Okay, that's always a difference. So as we look at the skill of trading, now, if any of you play these four games, backgammon, all mathematical. Now, again, the luck of the dice, any given game, but all mathematical. Bridge, all mathematical. Gin, all mathematical. And poker. Those are all games of numbers, okay? They all involve, you know, being in the right place at the right time. Now, again, just because you're a better player or just because you have the skill doesn't mean that you're going to win every time, because in the markets, you are not going to be right every time. Which is why, A, we recommend on a long-term basis, you look to continue to invest, knowing that, you know, it could go, there's going to be fluctuations. You're going to go up and you're going to go down. But in the short term, if you want to trade a little bit, that you, you know, be more active and in tune with the market. And if you're looking to buy something for your long-term, that you definitely wait until you've got the best hand in poker, or you've got the biggest advantage in backgammon. Again, just because you're the best or have the best position does not mean or guarantee success. So what we say is, you know, take a portion. Now, for example, I like oil down here. Okay. Now, I don't know if oil's at the bottom at 32. It might go to 29. So I'm going to buy a little bit of oil, looking for that bounce, looking for it to go higher. And I'm willing to buy either direction. Whether it goes lower, then I'll buy a little bit more before while I'm building a position. So if I want to put $5,000, into oil, I would start out by putting, you know, probably $1,250. I would take 25% and invest. If we went lower to a new level that I could identify, I would probably invest another 25%. But eventually, I'd really like the balance of my position to be bought when the market starts to rise and go in my favor. That's what I'm really looking for, is when the markets will work in my favor. But I'm willing to get halfway involved when the markets are going against me, as I try to, again, we don't like to call it that, but we like to bottom fish a little bit. You know, technicals are technicals, and they do work, okay? And that's why you saw last Thursday that China bounced when they announced that they weren't going to have the circuit breakers in effect, because it made it natural for them to bounce, because you knew that the Chinese government was going to step in and buy if anything went wrong. But we don't care. We really don't care about news. And that's the interesting thing. You know, I bitch a lot on air about the things that piss me off. And I bitch a lot about, you know, the government and the Fed and all the other stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have very much effect on the overall ability to trade the markets. And that's something that I hope that all of you, you know, have listened to the calls that I played on here. And if anybody wants to come on as a guest on one of my calls and listen, shoot me an email. I'll let you check it out. I mean, I did offer a special anyways, you know, $20 for 1 month. But if you want to learn and get a better feel for how the markets operate, that's what I want you to do. Because really, again, this is no different than when you got your first job or you opened your first business. You had to learn about them and learn how you could be the most successful when you were doing that. And that's what trading is about. It's no different. It's no different whether you're a farmer. And now what you're seeing now, for example, in the farming community, we've got very depressed prices in the grain markets. Now you can puke out and sell here, okay, knowing that the commercials are very short. Or you can say, you know what, I have the ability to withstand and hold here, which I would do, and I'm doing. I mean, I'm buying grains here. I'm long. I own corn. I own wheat. I own beans. Okay. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're a great buy here, but I look at it from the perspective that I think there will be another demand. I think that the U.S. dollar will start to sell off. Okay. And the technicals are telling me that the levels I'm looking at are pretty good. Now, I'm not fully invested. Again, I'm willing to step in and buy more if we continue to go the wrong way. Of course, I would much rather prefer to buy more on the way up in the direction, but I won't worry about it. Again, I'm not going to put at risk enough money that's going to make me lose sleep at night. And that is the other thinking, the key thing of being an investor is investing to your comfort level. Okay. In other words, unfortunately, many of you have over-margined yourself and they're going to be put to a decision as this market continues to fall, because what happens is you start to get the margin calls, which is another thing that propels markets lower, is when you're getting margin calls. And what I say, what Bubba says, is don't put yourself in a position for margin calls. Put in the cash that you have that is expendable. Okay, now I know a lot of us are struggling, so there's not a lot of expendable cash. But whatever you have, and again, it can be $50 a month. You can start out with a base mutual fund, putting away some money. Okay? Because at the end, kids, I want to have you have money on the side put away. I know how hard it is to save, and that's why I say put what you can afford. Don't stretch, and don't try to chase yield as many have done, because the reason I've been bearish the last year or so is because I can see that people are chasing the market, and that shows up in the technicals of the market. And that's why we talk about technical analysis versus fundamental analysis. Stocks do not move on fundamentals. Okay. That's the bottom line. They move wherever they're going to go. And when analysts upgrade and make these ridiculous calls to the upside, or they downgrade and they make these ridiculous calls to the downside, how the hell do they know? They know nothing. There is no way to know a market other than one level at a time. Now, I've made a call that I believe that 1586 in the S&P is going to trade. Okay, and we are right now approximately 20% away from that level. But as a short-term call, I think the next stop is 2,000. Or excuse me, 1900 in the S&P, and then probably 1870, and then maybe 1850. Now, I think that eventually we get down to that, but I'm not trading based on 1586. I'm trading based on what's happening now, okay, and the levels that I can identify. And that's why I recommend that you find the stock you like, and, you know, whatever it is if it's at a good level and not chasing it up, but somewhere where it's on a good support level, maybe making a double bottom or something like that, you would invest a little, and you would continue to build upon that investment, and then also diversify. Okay. And that's one of the good starts about mutual funds and things like that. Again, they're not sexy, but they're a way for you to compound your money and learn the market of investing. Again, not everybody wants to be a trader, but you should at least take the time to learn about technical analysis. You should take the time to understand how markets really work and not let somebody else totally take over your money, because at the end of the day, nobody cares as much about your money as you do. And your job is to not have to be out working a part-time job when you're ready to retire because you have to, because you don't have enough money to retire on. Again, I'm all for working until you drop, but that should be a choice, not out of a necessity. So do yourself a favor and take the time to learn a little bit about the markets. Keep listening to the show, and we'll have some specials on analysis here and there. And of course, today we've got Matt Demeter coming up at the back end of the show, who is a straight technical analyst. Check out thebubbashow.org. A lot of great articles. Check out the hedging program. We're teaching how to day trade futures now. And also, if you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm. On demand, you can get it. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Matt Demeter at the
break. You're so delicious. You're so soft.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for our analyst, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, to come on, and he has been, as they say, en fuego. He's been on fire. He's been right on top of these markets almost every single week. Matt, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you, Ted?
I'm doing great. So, Matt, last week you told us to expect some downward action and a little bit of a bounce in the metals, and we had a little bit more than downside action. We had actually a basic market creaming, but your opinion from before was that the markets were going to go down and test the low or make new lows near the August 24th lows, and then your feeling is the markets were going to go then up and make new highs. Is that still your opinion and your feeling?
Yeah, it's still my opinion. We're getting exactly what I was hoping for. New York Stock Exchange composite, it's down at a triple bottom, essentially. The other indices aren't quite there yet, but they're close enough that this is very close to what I wanted to see.
So are you looking to be a buyer in here now? Are you waiting for something else, or is this triggering buy signals for you?
Yeah, I don't think it's time to buy. I don't think at the end of this past week it was the time to buy just yet, but I think we're really close. I think early this week is probably correct.
So would you be looking for now? I mean, basically, for 7 days, we've gone straight down. Okay, the last 2 days of 2015 and 5 days of obviously 2016 were basically straight down, with the exception of Tuesday, which was a volatile day, but closed, depending on how you want to look at it. If you look at the futures, it was down. If you look at the Dow itself, it was up. But I count that as another down day. But then really you had a sell-off on Wednesday, and then a Drano on Thursday, and after Friday's rally. And Friday's rally was easy to call on Thursday night, because when China decided to take off the circuit breakers, you knew that that meant that the Chinese government was going to continue to buy securities. So that propelled a rally. And then we had that monster job number, which the markets then jumped. But of course, then they just collapsed. And what do you make of all that action?
Yeah, well, we've been short China through the ASHR ETF. And we're very happy with that. But I think we've landed on, I think it was interesting because we landed on a support line that I've been watching. And that's exactly where the Chinese regulators closed or halted the market. Maybe it was just a circuit breaker. We were down 7%, so they had to. But it landed right on a line. We're very close to the line that we were looking for a support, which just turned out to be interesting coincidence. But in any case, we covered, and I'm not bullish China. In fact, I'm, you know, long-term very bearish China. But I think we probably get some sort of a bounce here sometime this week.
Now,
short term.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, look, I think you and I are on opposite sides of the fence of the overall markets. I think we get a bounce in our markets this week. I think you might see a little bit of a capitulation, but I think we get a bounce this week. But I think that's a selling opportunity, and you believe that we're going to go up and make new highs. I think, in my opinion, from my experience, there's no chance you make new highs here. But again, I don't do the same research you do. So make your case for us that we're going to make new highs.
Well, you might be right, but here's what I'll be looking for. When we will get a bounce from near these levels. I strongly believe that.
I agree. 100. I could not agree more. Let me just step in 1 second. In fact, I did a special State of the Markets webinar late last week and said, look, don't panic. There is going to be a bounce let you out. And one thing we know for sure, even if these markets are going into a major correction, which I believe they are, there is going to be many of opportunities to either exit your positions, get short the market, or do whatever you want. You know, the people in 2008 who took the big beating did so because they kept hoping that the market would rally. And every time they saw one of those vicious bear market rallies, they go, oh, okay, the market's going to rally. And of course, then the market immediately went lower. And then, of course, they all puked out at the bottom, which is what always happens. That shows up as a footprint as well. But at the end of the day, we are not going straight down no matter what happens. And I never would say that. Just like I say, we're never going straight up. So I do believe there's going to be a bounce. I just don't believe it's going to be as big as you. But please, again, you do some very good research. You've been in fuego here with, and that means on fire for those of you who don't understand. And you've been right. So, you know, make your case. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, that's what makes a market. We're both on the same side early, but I think we'll separate somewhere before that we all get together and we'll be on different sides of the market then. But go ahead, please make the case for us.
Sure. Yeah, no, I knew we agree that we're probably closer to a bottom here. And then it's just a question of how high do we bounce. The way I'm looking at it is we have unfulfilled target lines that I want to see get hit to the upside. We don't have to get up there, but I think more likely than not we will. That's the primary reason I think we go to new highs. There's a few secondary reasons. One is that when we had the big sell-off in August, the commercial traders had become pretty heavily short, and they had gone pretty heavily long volatility futures. Although that just argues for a rapid sell-off rather than necessarily a grinding bear market. But for this drop, they've been essentially neutral volatility, and they've been, which, you know, maybe they should have had more on, but in any case, they were neutral volatility, and they have been more or less net short the markets. If that continues, if the big banks and so forth, they continue to short the market even into weakness, yeah, then I would start, you know, thinking a little bit, you know, about whether or not we're going to make new highs. And, you know, we'll know too on this bounce. When we bounce, we'll just have to see how high we go. If we start breaking resistance lines to the upside, then, you know, it's pretty clear we'll be making new highs. If those resistance lines hold, if we don't even make it, you know, that far, you know, then obviously something will be wrong and I'll have to reassess my position.
Well, no, I mean, you're a great analyst. I have no question of your ability as an analyst, okay? And there is no 100% panacea where you can be directly right. You have numbers and lines that you see in the market. I agree that we're going to see a bounce. Again, I just don't see it as high as you do. And you may be right. Look, again, there's that's what makes a market to begin with is there's got to be a buyer and there's got to be a seller. And certainly if we get back, in my opinion, to 1690 or 2005 in the S&P, I'm going to be loading up to the short side. I don't really care because I don't see them going much higher. But certainly, I can see where we could make new highs. I thought the chance to make new highs was last year during the holiday season. and they did not perform well. Not only did they not perform well, but at the end of the year, of course, we kind of really got crippled and continued. But this, the rate in which we're going down right now is way too fast, and it has to stop here fairly quickly, I would think. What do you think?
I agree. You know, we're pretty close on a lot of my targets. Volatility's pushed fairly high. It's not all the way, hasn't gone all the way to my target high. So I think there's a little bit more downside in the market before it bounced. I was looking at the last time we spoke, I was thinking about the Nikkei. We had started to break support, and I wasn't absolutely clear because it was just a marginal breach at the time. But a level there was about 18,000, it's about 18,800 where we broke down from. That's a level for, that's a good level for if we break above 18,800 in the Nikkei, then I would expect that market to continue higher as well. So that's one that's very clear and very clean for me to analyze. But if we get to that level and we pull back and it, you know, really just can't get through, then I'll start turning bearish as well. But if we, you know, that would be kind of the pivotal spot for the Nikkei. I'm trying to find the same thing for the S&P, and I think you had a pretty good level. But for me, it's 2020-ish.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's
if we break above there, then I would say
that's my secondary level. That's my next.
That's your secondary, okay.
That's the next place that I'm going to be laying them in. So,
all right, cool.
Well, you know, look, again, I have to look at the market, and I think this is important for everybody. I look at the market in two ways. I am an investor. I am a long-term investor in the market who has my long-term positions are all hedged and done and written up by synthetic options. So I benefit to the upside. I don't have any real risk to the downside. You know, sometimes I don't make as much to the upside, but I always am, I'm always long the market as an investor. As a trader, I can take these positions and use these levels because, again, my overall position is net long the market, and I have virtually minimal risk when the market breaks down because I know how to write the correct formula to put on a synthetic hedge. So, you know, I mean, you know, I don't have risk. I actually, that's when the markets great. Go down, I actually accumulate cash to buy more equities and compound the compound my portfolio that way. But I do agree. And again, listen, the markets are markets. And again, this is one of the things that has concerned me. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that when we come back from the break, is price discovery and free markets. We still don't really have them. And I think that's one of the reasons that the volatility is not done what you expected, what others expected, because certainly with the downward momentum we've had the last couple of weeks, you certainly would have thought that the VIX would have been higher than it is right now. And I think that that's one of the indications to me that we're close, because again, there's not fear, but I think that also shows us that there still is a hidden hand in the market. So when we come back from the break, I want you to kind of go over, you know, in your opinion, the price discovery model, because it does it doesn't have a real effect on the footprints, but it does have an effect on the general market conditions. We're visiting with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Check out his stuff. The man has been, since he's been coming on the show, has been almost right every week on the way that he sees the market. Definitely worth checking out, DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show. If you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm, on demand. Bubba Show, Tom Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Again.
10 miles from town, and I just broke down. After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Again, I urge you to check out his stuff. The man has been just on fire. I mean, I there's nothing else I can say. And, of course, he's looking for the markets to bottom somewhere, which we all are. We all believe that somewhere in here there's going to be a dead cat bounce. But Matt, I think, believes it's a little bit bigger than dead cat bounce. But all that being said, Matt, the first thing I want to ask you, and this has been one of my gripes, is the markets have not been allowed to be free. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're seeing the VIX, because based on the market action, the VIX should be at about 40 instead of 20 or 25. What are you seeing and what do you think?
I expected much higher VIX as well. So, yeah, I'm surprised by it. I'm not sure of the reasoning, if there is, you know, perhaps some sort of Fed involvement or something going on. But I know that going into it, we talked about the commercial traders didn't have a big volatility long position this time. they did in August, and they cleaned up pretty well. This time they don't have a big volatility position. And I think if you look at, I haven't looked at it most recently, but I just sort of scanned through it, but it looked to me like calls on volatility were much, or puts on volatility were much more expensive than calls on volatility for the same strikes. So for the right around here. So that suggests those traders think that, you know, we're going to get a bounce, at least the volatility will come off a little bit. But other than that, I'm not real sure why volatility. Those are my two observations on volatility.
Oh no, I agree. And you know, again, I'm concerned, you know, about the price discovery model. Again, it doesn't really affect the footprint, but markets themselves are much more efficient than pricing themselves out, than having the hidden hand of somebody involved in central banks. It's just like the Chinese market. When they let the circuit breakers off, the markets didn't collapse because traders came. Now, maybe it was the Chinese government buying, but it doesn't matter. Somebody was buying and holding up that market and buoying it. And that's what really is the best, is when traders in free markets actually discover price. So do you agree with that, or do you not agree with that theory?
I am a big advocate for free markets, and I understand why everybody's so frustrated. You, me, you know, a lot of people that just want, you know, government out of it. I appreciate that, and if there's other markets, if the Chinese do it, that's one thing. But I think, you know, when we do it here in the U.S., it kind of goes against our, you know, whole philosophy of, you know, freedom and democracy and so forth.
Now, what's your take? You've been really good on the currencies as well. What's your take on the currency market?
Currencies. I do expect a bounce in the Nikkei pretty soon, which typically means the yen weakens. We've been long the yen, and that's been working for the past week and a half. We just took our yen position off on Friday, so you know it's probably a little bit early. We probably have one more day of yen strength, two more days. But in any case, I think yen is probably going to weaken again. The commercial traders are heavy short, talking about other currencies, they're heavy short dollar index futures. So they're thinking dollar falls from here and essentially most everything else goes up. They've really increased their positions in the Canadian dollar, in the British pound. They've always been pretty heavily long Australian because it just keeps falling and they just keep buying, but not as much this week.
Oh, I mean, actually, that ties along with my theory that the commodities are coming somewhere near a bottom, because, as we all know, the commodities are benchmarked against the U.S. dollar and are in a depression. And if you look at it, so if the dollar starts to fall, it should help rise commodity prices. So that would make sense and fit in my theory, because you know, this year as an investor, when I talk on air. On TV, I say, look, I'm looking to buy basic materials, commodities, oil, and things like that, because I expect that the dollar will start to fall, and I expect that there will be some demand model that will start to pick up in these areas. What do you think?
I agree. I think this year, 2016, will be the year of, you know, the commodity, the bottom, and that we will, you know, start a new bull market. And it, as far as the dollar goes, I think not only does that say... not only is that a positive for commodities, I think it probably also speaks to what the Fed's going to do this year. I don't really think they're going to raise four times, but maybe you have some thoughts on that. I'm sure you do.
I think they're going to have QE4, and I think they're going to they're going back to zero. I mean, that's just my opinion. Yeah. I thought QE4. I was really surprised, Matt, that they raised rates in the first place. I lost $20 to Dagan McDowell on Fox, but I think that they raised just to show their muscle and say, hey, we can raise if we want, and they raise. But I don't really think they want to raise, and I think with the turmoil and trouble, they can talk about the growth all they want. There is no growth, and the jobs numbers showed that there was no really growth in this market. But, again, you don't really care about that stuff because it just affects the footprint. Did the action after the jobs number surprise you, or were you prepared for that with the charts?
I didn't see how that would be interpreted as a bullish thing anymore, just because, you know, that just puts more pressure on the Fed to raise, and nobody wants that to happen. So, you know, it's a cost of money goes up. It's not a positive for
that. That's true, and you've got issues with you know, again, we look at the way we're losing jobs. But so what is your, if you're looking for one thing this week, what would be your number one thing that you're looking for that would create the best opportunity for the individual trader?
I would say just get long. That's pretty long equities for the bounce. And have, you know, a stop. We have very specific levels for our service. But I would say, you know, with the Nikkei, most people don't follow Nikkei, but we shouldn't really go much below the prior lows. I think the same thing applies with the S&P. S&P really shouldn't go much below the August and September lows. If it goes, you know, say below 1850 in the S&P, that's a problem. That may continue. Otherwise, I think it's a good time to get long and participate in the bounce.
Now, would you wait to get long and wait till the markets would start to turn over? I always teach, you know, we use two charts. We use a long-term chart to find the level, and then we use a short-term, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20-minute chart for the short-term to use to confirm that we found a level. Would you just go ahead and get long, or would you look to get long on a shorter time frame? How would you figure out the play when you were going to get in?
Well, we do the same thing. So we'll look at the, you know, the big picture where the general level is, and then go down to the shorter term prices. So I give that out to subscribers. But I would just say as a general level, you know, closing it last week at 1922, we weren't quite as low as I wanted to get. Let's say, you know, closer to 1900, I thought would be, you know, where we were more interested. Anything below 1850, is probably going too far. So just as general, you know, just as a general buy area, I'd say anywhere around 1900 is pretty good.
I agree. And I think especially if we can get some sort of capitulation bottom around here where you just, you know, they throw the baby out with bathwater and maybe they get down to 1890. You know, once they start turning up, I think that's a great time to possibly look to get in. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, I wasn't really that happy with the lows that we got in August and September, because I thought we should have gone a little bit lower. And the lines I was looking at to bottom on, they were rising lines. So we no longer, at this point, now that, 5 months has gone by, those lines are higher now than the lows we got in August. So, we're approaching those, and I think, this will be a great opportunity to get long, maybe just for a bounce, but
right. Well, again,
I think we're going to go a bit higher than that.
That's where you and I differ, but again, that's what makes the market. There's there's no issue there. We both think that there's going to be a bounce, and you just think you have a super ball, and all I got is a rubber ball, and which is, again, we'll see. I'm with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. You got to check him out. Matt, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. Again, man's been in fuego, on fire. And make sure you check out TheBubbaShow.org. You can see a lot of great articles. We write pretty much ahead of the times. We're usually a step or two faster than everybody else. And if you miss a show, you go to LibertyTalk.fm and you can get the show there. But for today, that'll do it. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.